Se šrulo nažito skinula naraz. Tu spadok nukoj chatu u chutori. De potrebu drybnoty, mebli i matras. Rakabili pati u truhlavi chati. Етно-територію треба розгребсти. Все, що заважало,
геть повикидали.
Та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, та ні сюди. Та бабина тумба, та бабина тумба. Та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, та ні сюди. Та бабина тумба, та бабина тумба. Та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, та ні сюди. Та бабина тумба, та бабина тумба. Та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, ні сюди.
Hey, 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 la-la.
Та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, та ні сюди.
Часу мало, вже смеркає.
Та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, та ні сюди.
Ні водою, ні вогнем.
Та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, та ні сюди.
Це бабиньовий талісман чи то тем.
Та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, ні сюди.
Та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, та ні сюди.
Та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба не пролазить.
Та бабина тумба,
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 та бабина тумба. Можливо, виперти назовні, як ти не крути, тобі стартує нова мода. На коло тумби, що не влазить ні туди, та ні сюди. Та бабина тумба, та бабина тумба, та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, та ні сюди. Та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба, та бабина тумба не пролазить ні туди, та ні сюди.
Та бабина тумба,
та бабина тумба.
And that was one of Ukraine's preeminent rockabilly groups. They are called Otvinta, and that song was Babina Tumba, which translates as Baba's Outpost or Granny's Outpost. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачі «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою, як звичайно, з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. З вами Павліна Макорі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Ми маємо дуже цікаві новини на сьогоднішній програмі і також чудову українську музику. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchuk-Makori, Pokrinska Pavlina, and I am so glad you've tuned in today. We've got a great program lined up for you. We have news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today, a story by Viktor Sergeyev about growing up in the old Soviet Union. As well, we've got Ukrainian Jewish heritage and a look at the Ukrainian Jewish community of Sambir. As well, we've got a proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is an a cappella group from Ukraine that's been around quite a while, and with good reason, they are still very, very popular. The name of the group is Picardiska Tercia, and here they are with a Polish folk song that Ukrainians have adopted as their own. It is called Hey Sokole, Hey the Falcons.
Ej, tam gdzieś na czarnej wody siada na koń koza głody, czule żegna się z dziewczyną, jeszcze czule z Ukrainą. Hej, 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 sokoły, omijajcie góry, lasy, doły, dzwoń, 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 dzwoneczku, mój stepowy skowroneczku. Hej, 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 sokoły, omijajcie góry, lasy, doły, dzwoń, 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 dzwoneczku, mój stepowy, dzwoń, dzwoń, dzwoń. Wiele dziewczat jest na świecie, lecz najwięcej w Ukrainie. Tam me serce pozostało przy kochanej mej dziewczynie. Hej, 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 sokoły, omijajcie góry, lasy, doły, dzwoń, 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 dzwoneczku, mój stepowy z koroneczku. Hej, 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 sokoły, omijajcie góry, lasy, doły, dzwoń, 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 dzwoneczku, mój stepowy, dzwoń, dzwoń, dzwoń. Żal, żal za dziewczyną, za zieloną Ukrainą. Żal, żal, serce płacze, już się więcej nie zobaczę. Hej, 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 sokoły, omijajcie góry, lasy, doły, dzwoń, 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 dzwoneczku, mój stepowy z koroneczku. Hej, 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 sokoły, omijajcie góry, lasy, doły, stępowy, dzwoń, dzwoń, dzwoń. Wina, wina, wina dajcie, a jak umrę, pochowajcie na zielonej Ukrainie przy kochanej mej dziewczynie. Omijajcie góry, lasy, doły, dzwoń, 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 dzwoneczku, mój stepowy z koroneczku. Hej, 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 sokoły, omijajcie góry, lasy, doły, dzwoń, 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 dzwoneczku, mój stepowy z koroneczku. Hej, 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 sokoły, omijajcie góry, lasy, doły, dzwoń, 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 dzwoneczku, mój stepowy, dzwoń, dzwoń, dzwoń.
Сяду край віконця. дрімайте, не дрімайте, не будете спати. Десь поїхав мій миленький іншої шукати. Десь поїхав мій миленький іншої шукати. Цвіте терен, цвіте терен, листя опадає.
And a singer from Ukraine by the name of Taisia Povali, and a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Tsvita Teren, the blooming countryside. And it is a song about a young woman, a troubled young woman, who is trying to decide whether she should marry for love or for practical reasons. Coming up next, a group from Canada, from Winnipeg, Manitoba, which is in the center of the country, and a group called High Profile. They are a very popular and very busy Ukrainian polka band. Here they are with a tune from their most recent CD that they just released this past summer. It is called Tribute to Ukrainian Culture. And it is another traditional Ukrainian folk song, and this is a story about a young man who is having a hard time deciding between a beautiful young girl and a bowl of cottage cheese pierogies.
Еще я раз по стежі, по межі терне. І зліба я дівчино, що несла пироги. Чи чула, 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 чи чула, чула те. І зліба я дівчино, що несла пироги. Дівча моя кохане, чи жаєш мої сни, що я тебе кохаю і сіром пироги. Чи чула, 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 чи чула, чула те, що я тебе кохаю і сіром пироги. Дівчина як почула козацькі мрісни, то зразу запросила на свіжі пироги. Чи чула, 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 чи чула, чула те, то зразу запросила на свіжі пироги. І як його діждатись, що слевої пори, дівча його зелює, а він їсть пироги. Чи чула, 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 чи чула, чула те, дівча його зелює, а він їсть пироги. Аж де сиді за лісу, взялися вороги, козак із переляку сховався бур'яни. Чула, 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 чи чула, чула те, козак із переляку сховався бур'яни. А то були мислуці, ніякі вороги, за лісо відвівчено і сіром пироги. Чу-чула, чула, чула, чу-чула, чула те, за лісо відвівчено і сіром пироги. Козак Геркоса плака, від тяжкі вороги, візьміть собі, дівчино, вітайте пироги. Чи-чула, чула, чула, чи-чула, чула те, і зліба я, дівчино, що несла пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, що я тебе торкаю і сіром пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, хто зразу запросила на свіжі пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, дівча його залює, а він їсть пироги.
Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Now, Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, hosted by Renata Hananets in cooperation with the Jewish Heritage Museum in Lviv, Ukraine. This special Nash Holos feature is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario.
Добрий день. This is Renata Hananets at the Faina Patryakova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. Welcome to this week's look at Ukraine's Jewish heritage. Sambir is an administrative center for the Lviv region. It is located 73 kilometers from the city of Lviv. Founded in 1199, Sambir has a rich Jewish history, little of which remains. The first mention of Jews living in Sambir dates back to 1447. Over the years, conflicts between Christian and Jewish merchants arose. This led to royal decrees in the mid-1500s restricting Jews from trading or living within the city. As a result, the Jews settled outside the city, in an area they called Bleach, or Bleich in Yiddish. The first mention of Jews living in Sambir dates back to 1447. Over the years, conflicts between Christian and Jewish merchants arose. This led to royal decrees in the mid-1500s restricting Jews from trading or living within the city. As a result, the Jews settled outside the city, in an area they called Bleach or Bleich in Yiddish. The name comes from the craft of bleaching fabrics. Their community thrived because the Jewish merchants were more industrious and resourceful than their Christian counterparts. They controlled commerce in the area. In 1629, there were almost 2,000 Jews living in the Bleach Quarter on the outskirts of Sambir. In 1732, they were granted permission to build a synagogue and create a cemetery. By 1910, the town had a Jewish library, school and theater. In 1920s, around 80% of the town's population were Jews, 18% Ukrainians and 2% Poles. On September 8, 1939, the German army attacked Sambir, plundering Jewish property and assaulting Jewish workers. Less than 2 weeks later, Sambir was taken over by the Red Army. The Soviets started nationalizing private businesses. By 1941, very few privately owned shops remained. Many wealthy and middle-class Jews were deported to Siberia. In June 1941, the Nazis returned to Sambir. Jews were ordered to wear the Star of David. Their homes were ransacked and valuables confiscated. Throughout 1942 and 1943, thousands of Jews were transported to Belzec's extermination camp. The Nazis' hatred and inhumanity had no limits. They carried out mass killings of Jews on sacred Jewish holidays, Pesach, Yom Kippur, Shavuot. On the first day of the Passover in 1942, they shot more than 1,200 Jews and dumped their bodies in mass graves. In 1939, Sambir's Jews numbered 10,000. By 1944, barely 100 were left. The Soviets continued where the Nazis left off. In 1974, authorities ordered the bulldozing of Jewish cemeteries in western Ukraine. Hundreds of gravestones were uprooted in Sambir. Many were used as founding blocks for a new candy factory. After Ukraine became independent, advanced communications and international pressure slowed down the desecration. In the late 1990s, the Jewish cemetery in Sambir was surrounded with a stone wall and renovation began. Unfortunately, there is an ongoing dispute over the restoration of this sacred site. During World War II, the Nazis also killed several Ukrainians at the Sambir Jewish Cemetery. A few years ago, unidentified activists erected large crosses to mark the site. This insensitive act is thought to be politically motivated and a deliberate attempt to create discord between Ukrainian Jews and Christians. The situation in Sambir is being monitored by Meila Shehed, who is well known as the guardian of Jewish cemeteries in Ukraine. He is also a director of the Faina Patryakova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art. Our museum is dedicated to preserving what is left of Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage and sharing it with the world. You can find out more about our work at our website www.jewishheritage.org.ua. This is Renata Hananets. Until the next time, shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com.
стежечко, стежечко моя, шепши ніж до я, дороге ім'я, ой, зі стежечко, стежечко моя.
And another Canadian group from Winnipeg, as it turns out, that was a group called Kalena, and that means high bush cranberry. That is an iconic tree in Ukrainian folklore, and that is from their CD called Seam, which means seven, and that refers to their seventh album. And that song was Stezhichko Moya, Zydeko, and that was a Cajun twist on a traditional Ukrainian folk song called My Destiny. Now, the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
One Ukrainian serviceman has been killed and at least three have been injured in the past 24 hours in the east of the country, according to the Ukrainian Defense Ministry. On Tuesday, Russian-backed militants fired grenade launchers at Ukrainian forces. This is the first fighting in several weeks to result in a fatality on the Ukrainian side. The night in the anti-terrorist operation zone was quiet. However, in the evening, the bandits did not limit themselves to their usual provocations and opened fire with underbarrel grenade launchers and automatic grenade launchers against our servicemen south of Avdiivka. There is one killed and two wounded among our servicemen. The attack comes as Ukrainian troops continue to pull back tanks and artillery of less than 100 millimeter caliber, more than a dozen kilometers from the line of contact, in accordance with a peace deal agreed to last month. The first stage of a weapons pullback deal in Ukraine's eastern region of Luhansk has been completed. According to the Ukrainian military, tanks and artillery with a caliber of less than 100 millimeters has been withdrawn from the line of contact in eastern Ukraine. Officials have also reported of a relative quiet all along the line over the past 24 hours.
The remains of three Ukrainian soldiers have been found near the Donetsk airport in East Ukraine. The bodies are now being sent for DNA testing. Meanwhile, the Ukrainian military said overnight Wednesday into Thursday was calm along the front line. But according to Ukrainian broadcaster TSN, Russian-backed militants near Donetsk airport continued to break a ceasefire agreed to last month.
Russian-led militants are training snipers, tank mechanics, and artillery targeting specialists. That's according to Ukraine's State Security Service Chief, Vasil Gritsak. He says there are almost 200 militant training bases operating in Ukraine. The breakdown is as follows. The so-called Donetsk People's Republic accommodates 58 militant training bases, whereas there are 53 such bases in the neighboring self-proclaimed Luhansk People's Republic. More than two dozen militant training bases are located in Ukraine's Crimea, which was annexed by Russia, and one base is located in the Russian-backed breakaway region of Transnistria.
Europe's OSCE watchdog is unable to access some areas of militant-controlled East Ukraine. The organization's Secretary General Lamberto Zania said observers there are facing obstacles accessing zones near the Russian border. That's according to quotes carried by Russian newspaper Kommersant. And it's not just the OSCE having troubles. Several UN humanitarian bodies have also been restricted in parts of the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. Those concerns were echoed in talks with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in Moscow on Monday afternoon. Despite the limitations, Zania said the observation of the ceasefire had opened the door for the OSCE to help civilians caught up in the war. Here is what he had to say.
The situation from a point of view of the hostilities has improved on the ground. The ceasefire is holding is really creating the space now for a number of very positive activities. We're looking at the humanitarian situation, reconnecting waters, the issue of energy supplies, the issue of logistic offices to support the population. So there is now a good opportunity also to devote more attention to the needs of the people on the ground.
During that press conference, Zania also said the OSCE had established some 31 holding areas for weapons which should be pulled back from the front line under the Minsk Agreement. Each of those zones is about 20 square kilometres, meaning for those areas to be effectively monitored, more cameras, sensors and personnel would be needed. But despite this, late last week, the deputy head of the OSCE's mission in Ukraine complained that militant forces were storing heavy artillery weapons in unauthorized locations, meaning such a situation where both sides abide fully by the peace agreement could still be far off.
Ukraine has been elected as a new non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for the year 2016-2017. The move did not come as a surprise, with five seats being contested by five nations. However, Ukraine's new position is likely to add to tensions with Russia, which is a permanent Security Council member and had reportedly been campaigning against Ukraine joining the council. Referring to the Russian-backed insurgency in East Ukraine, Ukraine's Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin said earlier this week, quote, "Election to the Security Council is of special importance for us as a backdrop of the ongoing Russian aggression."
Nadia Savchenko's trial continued on October 7th in Russia's Rostov region. The defense lawyer of the Ukrainian pilot tweeted a picture of her with an embroidered bag over her head. She did so to protest the testimony of one of Russia's witnesses in her case. According to Savchenko, a Russian security officer was directly involved in her abduction from the militant-occupied East Ukraine's Donbas last summer. Savchenko was then taken with a bag over her head, so Savchenko decided to remind him of that fact.
Mines, the dangerous remnants of war. Often well hidden below the surface, the explosives were previously used to repel against advances by combined Russian separatist forces. But as active hostilities cease along the front line, there is a growing risk that ordinary civilians could fall victim to the deadly devices. Children playing outdoors are especially at risk of being killed or injured. This is 12-year-old Ivan, a school pupil near the Ukrainian city of Mariupol. Several days ago, a booby trap exploded whilst he was running through his family's allotment towards a nearby river. He is lucky to be alive. He said, "I kicked a rock, and then a small noise came out. Then I heard something like a smack, and then I felt my feet burning. I ran to my neighbor's house, and then I saw my feet were covered in blood. I ran to my mum, and afterwards we went to hospital." Now Ukrainian bomb disposal teams are attempting to rid the countryside of the mines. Wearing special suits and armed with demining equipment, these men know that their next step could be their last. It's nerve-wracking work, but it's essential to keep calm. This man said, "We discharge the mine by putting this under it. When you take this off, the mine detonates. That's why we are checking mines with a demining grapnel." Each mine weighs 12 kilos. When it blows, several thousand pieces of shrapnel fly into the air, up to 90 meters. But sometimes it doesn't go according to plan, so they bring more TNT to blow it up properly. The sappers say not everything in this job always goes smoothly. The neutralized mines are then put in this truck, after which they will be disposed of. The sappers know for every deadly mine cleared, another life could be saved in a conflict where so many thousands have already been lost. Brought down by a Russian-made Buk missile, that was the result of a Dutch-led inquiry into the Malaysia Airlines flight MH17 disaster over eastern Ukraine. Investigators presented their final report on Tuesday afternoon. This footage is from the conference in the Netherlands. The report went into extensive detail about how the passenger plane was hit. It said that the warhead was detonated on the left side of the cockpit, outside of the aircraft. In the explosion, thousands of small metal objects hit MH17 with incredible force, causing extensive structural damage to the forward part of the plane. Experts also concluded that those aboard would have died instantly and that the impact was not from an air-to-air missile strike, a common theory presented by Russian-backed media. It was also found that prior to the downing of MH17, some 160 flights by 61 operators from 32 different countries flew over the eastern Ukraine conflict zone between the 14th and 17th of July 2014, before the airspace was closed. The reason for this was the fact nobody, neither the Ukrainian government or international air operators, took into account the risk of choosing that particular flight route. The Dutch Safety Board called on all countries in conflict to do more to ensure the safety of civilian airliners. The conclusions took 15 months to complete and from the start didn't set out to lay blame on any particular group. That is out of the investigator's remit and will be dealt with in a separate case.
Hundreds of members of Ukraine's nationalist groups gathered in the center of the capital, Kyiv, for a rally commemorating famous Ukrainian nationalist figures. The march came as Ukrainians marked Defenders' Day, a new national holiday meant to honor those who fought for the country's independence. Members of the far-right Svoboda Party, as well as the right sector, joined the march. During the gathering, many called for the release of several men who were arrested for involvement in deadly clashes with police outside the Ukrainian parliament in August.
Representatives from The Hague will arrive in Kyiv within the next few weeks. There, they will consider the possibility of investigating Russia's aggression in eastern Ukraine and the killing of protesters during the Euromaidan revolution last year. Ukraine's prosecutor's office say they are prepared to provide all the materials needed for such a case. Ukraine is not a member of the International Criminal Court, although has twice voluntarily accepted its jurisdiction. Crimean Tatars have cut more key electricity lines to their occupied homeland. It's the latest to move as part of an economic blockade of the region. Members of their indigenous group are angry. Activists have prevented any repair works from taking place to the power lines. Three others still supply Crimea, according to Radio Liberty's Crimea service. It's not the first time the power cables have been vandalized. Crimean Tatars have faced a wave of persecution from the Kremlin-appointed authorities since the invasion by Russian forces last March. This includes the killings of Crimean Tatars, the quashing of their media, and raids of their main representative group, the Mezhlis. NATO must boost political and economic support for Ukraine. That's the main message as parliamentarians from alliance member states meet on Monday in Norway. They also call for pressure on Russia to keep to the Minsk peace accords. In a draft resolution likely to be adopted today, the deputies urge governments to redouble efforts to help Ukraine at this critical juncture. Efforts to wean Europe off its dependence on Russian oil and gas is also expected to be discussed.
Thousands of Ukrainian streets named after Lenin and Marx must be renamed by November 21st. The former Soviet leader and the father of socialism are the most prominent of 520 historical figures on a list published by the Ukrainian Institute of National Memory. In May, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko signed four laws condemning the communist and Nazi regimes that occupied Ukraine in the 20th century.
The Soviet-era monument called Mother Motherland hosts a Second World War museum at its base. But since last year, museum staff have been collecting artifacts of a new war, the war raging in eastern Ukraine. Ukrainian soldiers involved in the conflict have donated their clothing and other personal belongings, and some relatives have handed over personal effects of those who were killed on the battlefield.
I'm very proud of my son for what he did. He gave up his life without hesitating for his country. He also said, if not us, then who?
Nadia shows us the uniform and pictures of her 21-year-old son who was killed last year on the Russian-Ukrainian border. Holding an award for bravery, which was given to her son posthumously, she has mixed feelings.
Even today, I would tear apart with my own hands those people who sent my child there to become a cannon fodder. Who will bear responsibility for that? He was our only child and they took him away. How do I feel? I go to sleep and wait for him. I wake up and wait for him.
Stories like Landia's formed the backdrop of events this week when Ukraine celebrated a new Defenders' Day holiday to commemorate those who have fought for the country's independence. At the same time, at the War Museum, new artifacts arrived to be exhibited.
We want the soldiers to come here. We want them to have a place to come where they can tell people what they're looking at, so that they can say, look, this is a piece of my war. I didn't want you to see the war itself. That's why I had this piece of war brought here, so that people could see it, the people I defended.
Natalia is a war correspondent for a Ukrainian TV channel. Alongside her colleagues, she's been gathering these artifacts in the war zone in eastern Ukraine, piece by piece, and bring them here, to Kyiv. And today, they invited all those whom they met during the war to thank them again and show them the exhibition. Some of the soldiers brought their families. Today I came here with my family to show them all of this. They were constantly worried for me, but they haven't seen all of this. Because to remain alive in that situation which we had there, we thank God and all those who were worried for us.
Vyacheslav keeps glancing at the city and street signs arranged to his left. His unit retrieved one of these signs for the museum. It's the one which bears the name of a village in a territory controlled by Russia-backed militants and is heavily pierced by bullets and shrapnel. This demobilized soldier Mykola came here with his two granddaughters.
This is our history, and our children from a very early age should know who was doing what and where. These kids could barely wait for me to return from the war. Every day they were asking their mother and their grandma when grandpa would come back.
And while this may be Ukraine's Defenders' Day, it's not only Ukrainians who are defending the country in the current war. A whole section of the exhibition is devoted to foreigners who are fighting for Ukraine, among them a guy from Belarus, who's been fighting in eastern Ukraine from day one of the hostilities. He says this day and this place is special for him.
I'm here to honor the memory of my brothers who are no longer with us. Their belongings are here. Belarusian fighters gave up their lives for the freedom of Ukraine and in general for our freedom.
For some, the cost Ukraine is paying for its freedom is too high, and for others, it's too painful. But exhibitions like this one will serve as a permanent reminder for current and future generations of the true value of their freedom.
Ukraine native and Belarusian author Svetlana Alexievich has won the Nobel Prize for Literature for her portrayal of life in the former Soviet Union, which the Swedish Academy said was a monument to suffering and courage in our time. Alexievich's work includes a series of books about individuals in the former Soviet Union, as well as works on the consequences of the 1986 nuclear disaster in Chernobyl, as well as the Russian war in Afghanistan. By means of her extraordinary method, a carefully composed collage of human voices, Alexievich deepens our comprehension of an entire era, the Swedish Academy said on October 8th in awarding the $972,000 prize.
Women breaking stereotypes. The Ukrainian Ministry of Defense says female soldiers aren't fighting in the conflict in East Ukraine, but at the same time, they say that overall there are 14,000 women in the Ukrainian armed forces, more than 1,000 of which are in the Donbas region. On the front line, the men say that an army or a war without women would be demoralizing. A smile or a kind word can improve even the worst frame of mind. Following the example of the Israeli army, I think that we should take women into the military. They too can defend the country like we can. Of course, women want to do things their own way. They've even changed the grammar of a famous Ukrainian slogan to give it a feminine touch. We're all used to saying glory to the heroes, but we shouldn't forget the role of women in this war. That's why we've suggested the project Glory to the Heroines. The project is actually a competition. The participants are female soldiers. The object of the game, to turn military camouflage into glamour. Irina is among the women taking part. She lived in Greece for 18 years, but returned to Ukraine when the conflict began last year in the east of the country with Russian-backed militants. She wanted to serve, but no one would take her into their ranks. I wanted to serve in the field. They said to me, you're a woman, you can't, we don't take women. I've got higher education, but it didn't make a difference. They said I would be a cook or work in communications. I told them I can do aerial photography, topography, but it didn't help. But Irina insisted, and now she's stationed at a Ukrainian military checkpoint in the Luhansk region with a submachine gun. Among her experiences, when a Grad rocket struck just a few meters from her position, miraculously, she survived without a scratch.
One of her fellow female soldiers says, when it gets dangerous, a person doesn't think about her life. She thinks about her home, her country.
Many of these women have now been demobilized, but for them, the conflict in East Ukraine is not over. They are still involved with the army, with refugees from the conflict zone, and many also help rehabilitate soldiers returning from the front line.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Прийшла весна, і квіти розсвітають, згадаю я. Як дома дітки грають, любов моя, ти не сумуй за мене, а збережи моє кохання в себе, доки війна. Я буду захищати, любов моя, країна наша мати, за хлопців всіх, які лягли за тебе, захисники, їх пам'ятати треба ти. Не сумуй, ти не сумуй, ти не сумуй, ти не сумуй. Настане день, і прийде наша слава, а поки ми захисники держави і командир. Нам скаже всім до бою, ми віддамо своє життя за волю, вже сил нема. Але ми не здаємося, дрожить земля, а значить не присниться, любов моя, яка сумує знову, ти не сумуй. Я скоро буду вдома, ти не сумуй. Не сумуй, ти не сумуй, ти не сумуй. Ти не
And that was a song called Nesumui, which means don't be sad. And it was composed and performed by unnamed soldiers at the ATO zone in eastern Ukraine. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world, right here on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can get podcast links to all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter, and please like our Facebook page. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Що наварив, те мусиш їсти. And our proverb of the week translates as, whatever you cooked up, you must now eat. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. So to take us to the end, we've got Prairie Crocus, also from Winnipeg, and Uncle Bill's Polka. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.